Thanks for tuning in to today's Talk of the Rock. I'm your host, Davis Hovey, and with me in the studio are two guests from the Kodiak Community Foundation. If you're not familiar with what that organization is or what they do, that's the focus of our topic today. But just a little backstory, they recently presented at the local Kodiak Rotary meeting, and they've been doing the 12 Days of Christmas, or 12 Days of Pick, Click, Give, as they count down to the beginning of the new year and when PFD applications open. And that's important for all nonprofits in Kodiak, not just the Kodiak Community Foundation, as that means when you sign up for your PFD, you have the opportunity to donate part of that money to local nonprofits. So that's entirely up to you. And we'll talk more about that as we get underway with our two guests here from the Kodiak Community Foundation.
My name is Kristen O'Lear. A lot of people in the community know that I'm the executive director at the Kodiak History Museum, but I also serve on the Kodiak Community Foundation board as their treasurer right now.
Awesome. Julia.
Yeah, my name is Julia Sasanga, and right now I'm currently the Kodiak Community Foundation program manager.
All right. Yeah, so let's start with what does the Kodiak Community Foundation do, and how are they separate from the Alaska Community Foundation? Whoever wants to tackle that.
Yeah. So Alaska Community Foundation is located in Anchorage. Kodiak Community Foundation is more local. So it's just an affiliate or an auxiliary of Alaska Community Foundation. So we are here to be on the local level. I like to state that we're not here to compete with other nonprofits. We are here to support and assist in getting those resources, whether it's from ACF, Alaska Community Foundation, or if it's here in Kodiak.
And hello. Yeah, and a lot of the funding that Alaska Community Foundation receives obviously goes back to Alaska and local communities, but the affiliate here in Kodiak, any money that's donated to us stays in Kodiak. It's only for use of Kodiak nonprofits. So I think that's really important for people in Kodiak and around Alaska, if you have Kodiak connections, to know is that any money you donate to us stays here and is for community benefit and purpose.
Right. So almost like two separate pots. Well, yeah, really two separate pots of funding, because nonprofits can obviously still tap in or, and apply to Alaska Community Foundation grants, but they also have the opportunity, if they're here in Kodiak, to go to you guys. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Great. Are there any caveats with that other than being a local organization? Do you have specific cycles of grant applications? Is it open rolling? How does that work?
Yeah. So for the Kodiak Community Foundation, there's only so much spendable that we can have every year. So we usually have one grant cycle every year, but we do work really closely with Alaska Community Foundation quarterly, checking to see how much money there is in reserves. And we actually have four different buckets the money goes into. So we have one that's specifically for local travel on and off island for high school, I believe we were able to determine. So then, yeah, so if you are a local high school team or maybe even and you want to travel off island, you can make a separate request to us outside of the grant cycle period. And ask for that funding, or always send in ideas and we can talk as a board and see.
That's not necessarily for the whole school district. That's just, yeah, for maybe for one specific sports team or program if they wanted some help.
Specifically high school age
students. High school age.
Yeah, that are participating in traveling through sports.
Great. Okay, wonderful. And obviously, the Kodiak Community Foundation has been around for a long time. But Julie, I know you just started recently. What's the focus of your job right now?
Yeah, so I hit the ground running in September, and I just got here. So I'm new to Kodiak and new to the local community. But my role is to be the liaison or the in-between person for what's going on in the Alaska Community Foundation and making sure that those resources and the communication pipeline is clear for Kodiak Community Foundation to thrive within its local community.
What is the nature of funding coming from Alaska Community Foundation right now? Is that I know, again, you just got here in September, but has that been still meeting the status quo? Are they giving you more funding than years before? What's new?
Actually, that's a great talking point. So we've been, as the Alaska Community Foundation, in partnership with the Rasmussen Foundation. And 2025 is the last year of making a match with from the Rasmussen Foundation. So we're actually reevaluating that partnership, and we don't know what that's going to look like over the next 2026. So we are looking for getting more funding for our Community Foundation Operating Endowment Fund. But with that being said, and the unsurety of the next coming years without having Rasmussen to back us up, we're really just donor driven at this point in the local community. And with ACF, we had talked about grant cycles. They have a proactive grant cycle right now through ACF. So if you are a student who is traveling for sports, or you have a nonprofit organization that's helping fund the future of any local community in Alaska, you have the opportunity to go into that grant cycle with ACF right now, because Kodiak just closed their grant cycle. So,
got it. So that one specifically, Alaska Community Foundation.
Yeah.
Got it. Talking about sort of future oriented, it feels like this has been a challenging year for many nonprofits, but also sort of an opportunity to look at, what does the future look like for sustainability of nonprofits? Kristen, I know you recently joined the board as well, but I mean, can you kind of speak to what Kodiak Community Foundation is looking at in terms of future sustainability?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's really kind of finding local donors and having the funding go to local events, programs, and helping to maintain local sustainability. So it really is kind of relying on having our matchmakers. So in the past, because we've had such generous donation from Rasmussen, so the match we're talking about is $20,000. So if we raise $20,000 within the year, Rasmussen gave $20,000 to match that, which is incredible for local sustainability. So it is a devastating loss, and we're not the first nonprofit in Alaska to experience Rasmussen's divestiture of funds. But it is going to be, a heavier lean on companies that are willing to do matchmakers, having more matchmakers throughout the year, and being really transparent about where those funds are going and doing more, just letting donors know how it's affecting, doing more donor meeting recipients matching, so that donors really see the impact that they're having. Because it does, the money goes far in a community like Kodiak. And so the local businesses, while they're probably feeling tapped out from a lot of the nonprofit pressure, going through us, as the Kodiak Community Foundation, they have a long way that they can go here, because we can give to a lot of local nonprofits in the process.
Yeah, I'd also like to highlight there are some really inventive ways to donate to KCF. It's not just through money. We've been seeing other affiliates getting donation through property, estate, will, trust, legacy donations, and oddly enough, fisheries. So fishermen are donating their fish, and then at the processing plant, they're actually getting that money divested into funds towards those affiliates. So that is something that I'm really, really interested bringing here into Kodiak, because I know we've got a huge commercial fishing industry and it's thriving, matter of fact. And I think that that'd be a great way for fishermen to really feel an impact that's positive in the community.
So you're saying is this already happening in Kodiak, or you're just saying this is a model?
This is a model that's being shaped by other affiliates of the Alaska Community Foundation. And I'm really pushing, if there is a processor out there that's willing to help us out, that I would love to bring that here to Kodiak.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a great opportunity. Yeah. Kind of on that note, I mean, you mentioned before you have the one grant cycle, but you're clearly looking to support nonprofits in a multitude of ways. Can you just kind of give some examples of different nonprofits you've supported and how you've done so in the past?
Yeah, I mean, this last year we gave over $22,000 alone in terms of grant funding. And it's anywhere from Brother Francis Shelter to the local museums. I mean, really is a widespread of local nonprofits that we provide funding for and programming, whether it's local workshops, just putting a new roof facility on local things. That's what we're here for. So right now, as it stands, we only have the opportunity for the one grant cycle, but we always encourage nonprofits to reach out with a potential need that we can meet.
Yeah, we've had a couple new nonprofits come through the window of the year of 2025. So Island Trails was a new nonprofit. Mm-hmm. Reentry Program was a new nonprofit, all of which got funded through our last grant cycle in 2025.
Well, we funded to them before, but it's been a long time since they've applied.
Oh, I see.
Island Trails received a grant a few years ago. Okay. Yeah, I don't want to.
Yeah, sorry.
No, clarification. Yeah, they have received funding.
Newer
nonprofits.
Yeah.
Yeah, one really exciting thing about Kodiak is that Alaska in general has the highest number of nonprofits per capita. Kodiak is even higher than Alaska's average. So we have a lot of different people doing amazing work on island that those funds go to help coordinate.
You mentioned Kodiak Reentry, though, too. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Island Trails, there's certainly a wide variety of nonprofits that have very different needs and very different scales, right? Like we're talking some that have less than 10 employees or maybe just one employee, right? And others that are a little bit bigger and have maybe bigger financial needs. Does Kodiak Community Foundation take that into account when you're like awarding grants? Is there a sort of a section, I guess, in the application where you're, you know, sort of looking to see if you're helping a smaller nonprofit or if it is a bigger nonprofit? Are there different requirements, I guess?
I mean, at this time, I would say that needs to be a little bit more closely evaluated and worked on with the Alaska Community Foundation. Because the needs of Kodiakers are different and unique, I think we probably need to have a different sort of rating scale and training for board members to be better assess that. Because I have a grant experience in writing and reading, you know, but it's strictly to museums and nonprofits and what's reasonable within that realm. But someone may have more experience with like the needs of the women's shelter or Brother Francis. So I do think as a board, we need firmer training on that and have a better awareness. But we do try to read them with the scope of what we know that we can afford, what we think we can meaningfully help. And even if it's not the full amount that they've asked, that what we give them is enough to at least partially make the program go forward. But it's always a need for improvement and grant review.
Yeah. And then to ping off of that, I like you had said before, we either portionally fund or we fully fund. And I think that this season was, I'm not imposing a theme to any of the grant cycles, but I think food was a really big concern. Mm-hmm. So we did fund the Salvation Army Food Bank to make sure that people had readily available the food that they needed and the resources in lieu at the time that we knew a government shutdown, which has since closed off, which is great. But yeah, we knew at the time people were going to be looking for those types of resources. So we put our money into a pot for even senior citizens for their lunches, and then the program funding for Salvation Army.
And it was the highest application year we've had in a very long time. So the need in loss of other federal funding and other needs is very clear in the applications that we're getting and always something to be considerate of.
Yeah, I mean, that's not surprising, but certainly important to hear and to know because, again, you know, most folks maybe don't realize. And as we've already talked about a little bit, most folks don't even realize the Kodiak Community Foundation exists and what that is.
We're changing the narrative.
Yeah. Good, very good. But on that note, you also, Julia, you're the only staff member currently, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So, what are your needs then as a nonprofit, you know, affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation? And how do you sort of make that run with just one staff member and a board?
Yeah, I think being new here is also an interesting way to navigate this. So I'm kind of running and being here just from September, I've met so many different people. I would definitely say networking has probably been where I've been gearing myself to really help support KCF and just meeting different people of all different backgrounds in industry, especially here on island and off island. So Alaska is a great state and they've got a lot of support and people are really trying to be self-sufficient. And I think Kodiak deserves more to be self-sufficient than anything because it is an island and we're out here by ourselves in the archipelago. So yeah, it is a donor-driven initiative, but I know that KCF has made great connections in the community, and it's great to see those connections being intertwined into how we can help support other nonprofits and initiatives going forward for funding the future.
Is there a plan to sort of expand the staff that you have, or do you think, you know, as you said, if you're networking with other organizations, maybe you'll be able to sort of share the load, spread the wealth, so to speak, with just one staff member going forward?
Yeah, so ACF is huge. They have a huge base in Anchorage, and they actually do all of the back-end things for Kodiak Community Foundation. So I am just the in-between person. But with that being said, I have limited hours. I only have 20 to 22 hours given to me every month. So it's very part-time, but I'm more than willing and happy to help get everything figured out and situated. So
yeah, and this 2 year was really, it was my first year on the board. I've only been on it for a year, but we sadly lost our original program manager in February. Like, they stepped down, and so we were operating without one, and the board learned a pretty tough lesson about how much they really were doing and what was going to be required of the board and of the new program manager in the meantime. So 2025 has been an amazing year, I think, of growth, of realization, and then coming into 2026 with a little bit of a different perspective of what we need to do as a volunteer board, and also respect the boundaries that we have as volunteers. Most of us have full-time jobs that we have to do is balancing like our love and dedication to the community on top of that. So I think for right now, I think, yeah, one is having someone kind of get us in order and be the appropriate go-between has been incredibly helpful in the last just couple months. I think I've seen a difference in terms of that, but also know what we need to do to be more efficient.
Kind of on that note, I mean, what else would you say has changed, or what other impacts have you noticed in 2025 for Kodiak Community Foundation?
Yeah, we've had several new board members come on, and I think just having the experience of having a balance of people who are involved in the school district, who like me happen to be involved with the museums, who have lived in the community for 30 plus 40 years, who know everyone, to go around, be able to like more appropriately make those kind of asks in person is really incredible. So just like the sheer fact of people's experiences, and like when you're building a board matrix and kind of where you need to have strengths, I think this last year have grown incredibly and just have a really unique balance and understanding. Because I was like, yeah, let's do this. Or someone's like, what with the board or like with the school schedule, that's not going to work. And oh, we need to do it like this. And I'm like, no, like from a nonprofit perspective, that's not really going to work. And so having that balance, I think, leads to a stronger, more unified team and being able to do more good as a result. Joy, do you have anything to
add to that? Yeah, I mean, I'm new here and I'm really just hitting the ground running to try and figure out and see where I fit in this big grand scheme of a puzzle piece that is Kodiak. But I've definitely seen the intertwined relationships of people that have been here for decades, and they are really pushing for a more positive Kodiak, which I really can't appreciate more, because I'm coming from the lower 48 and big city, you're kind of just a piece in the bigger moment. But here in Kodiak, you're more than that. You are part of the picture. So it's been amazing to be here and see all the different connections and relationships that people have and all the parts that make Kodiak work.
Sure. The model for Kodiak Community Foundation really, to me, strikes it at the core of, you know, we can't do this on our own sort of thing, right? I mean, it really is the perfect example of, like you both were saying, working together, networking, continuing to build those relationships with others, and just continuing to support each other and lift each other up, right? Absolutely. I mean, that's the only way that we can continue into a future of sustainability, it seems, at this point. Yeah,
very donor-driven.
Yeah.
I mean, what does community mean to you? It's we all have a role to play, and especially in a small area like Kodiak, you know, everyone's kind of a big fish in a big pond or in a small pond. You know, we all have a role to play and to provide. So,
yeah.
What community would I want to live in? It's someone where you help your neighbor out.
So on that note, I'd then like to ask, so if our listeners are interested in getting involved, I mean, it sounds like the best way, the biggest way that they can make an impact with Kodiak Community Foundation is to help with donations, to help raise funds, right? Mm-hmm. Are there specific things that you're looking for, or people, or ways that you would promote or ask for them to get involved?
I mean, I think the big thing is, like I mentioned, we have four different buckets. And I do think that this next year we need to highlight that more so people can maybe make a more informed decision of where they would like their donation to rest and where they think it's going to do the most good. And I think it really is being transparent about how those fundings are getting used. We had a very successful, really wonderful donor appreciation event where the donors were invited, and then they got to hear testimonials from the recipients about where and how that money was being used. And we definitely want to do more of that and highlight it, and even do, and just engage some new matchers, like matchmaking. So we have a lot of wonderful community members that have donated consistently, but we also need new people who maybe find the work that we do integral and want to be a part of that.
So are there ways then for donors to like actively be involved in the process to decide how their funds are being used, how their money's being used? Or
I would say to a point, like funding with the Brian Young Foundation, when we're talking about student travel for sports, if we're talking about the Community Foundation Operating Fund and going through and getting us up and going as a nonprofit existing on the island, or if you're really just looking to push and see your money go forward into the future projects that are being created by nonprofits on island or throughout the archipelago, that money can go through our grant cycle specifically. So there are different pools of money that we pull from. But if you don't want your money to be specifically touched in a certain way, you have the ability to really gear your funding of the future in a specific bucket.
And I'm assuming if a donor is interested in getting involved in that, they probably talk to you, Julia.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I'm your go-to person. Another thing that Alaska Community Foundation has been pushing with us is if someone's really interested in gearing a fund of their own in partnership with Kodiak Community Foundation, you can come up with that on your own. So if you need to do tuition assistance or scholarship programming for something specific, or if you're looking to gear for other nonprofits or a specific industry, that is something that you can partner with us on.
Awesome. And that's, again, going back to sort of the examples you were giving before. Some folks are looking at legacy donations, mm-hmm. property, real estate, and yeah, whatever that looks like. So there are different options and avenues for them. Yeah.
Yeah. And then just to put a little bit of reassurance, when stuff like that does happen, where we have donors that are actually driving a more improved or unique way of donating to KCF, it's not just us trying to figure it out. It's actually ACF really backing us every step
of the way. I mean, they just celebrated 30 years this year of the Alaska Community Foundation. And so they have incredible experience navigating people who would like to leave estate giving or legacy, or, you know, who do want to give that fish donation or a home. They can help us navigate it. So we're not doing that on our own in a silo. We have their support and their expertise to lean on.
Just wrapping up here, a couple more questions for you. So I was curious then, with sort of the federal impacts and the government shutdown, as you alluded to earlier, Julia, was there any significant impacts that Kodiak Community Foundation saw from loss of federal funding or the government shutdown or anything like that that directly impacted you?
I think our cycle was really just timed well in lieu of that shutdown. And we knew that it was actually of the importance as a nonprofit that helps the community to get those funds out ASAP and intertwined into the community and getting people off their feet and making sure that those programs were running, because we knew that federal funding was going to be limited and that nonprofits might be affected by that shutdown.
A lot of our donations are local or statewide, so we're not really reliant on a federal grant in the way that others have been impacted. So we're very lucky in that, like, we're self-sustaining to a degree, and it's mostly local and state giving that propels us forward.
And then maybe the biggest question, I guess, is what is the thing that you hope most people would know about Kodiak Community Foundation, right? You want to get the word out about the organization. What are you hoping that more people know about you other than that you exist?
I would say money's not the end all be all. You can donate your time. You can donate your efforts, your connections, networking. If there is something that you want to bounce an idea off of and we can chit chat about, I'm here as your point of contact for not only Kodiak Community Foundation, but also the Alaska Community Foundation. So we are more than just us.
And like I said at the top, any money that you give to the local affiliate stays here in Kodiak. It doesn't go to Anchorage. It doesn't go anywhere else. It stays right here. So the money is for us, by us.
All right. And then how can folks get in touch with you, Julia? What's the best way for them to reach out?
Yeah. You can contact me via email. I'm a kodiak@alaskacf.org email. Mm-hmm. And that is probably the best way to reach out.
And if you do know us personally, in a text message or a call is also welcome, or at my work email. We understand that's how it works in Kodiak. I do not mind taking a call on my personal cell or my email if you know me and would just like to ask as well.
And I see y'all are getting more active on Facebook as well, it looks like. So folks can look there, the Kodiak Community Foundation
page. We're also hoping to grow our Instagram.
Cool.
Do both.
And you have a website, obviously. Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, thank you both for your time, Kristen and Julia. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah. And thanks again to the Kodiak Community Foundation for joining me today on Talk of the Rock. And congrats to those nonprofits that were granted by the Kodiak Community Foundation, received funds from them this year. That includes the Alaska chapter of the National Down Syndrome Congress, the Salvation Army Kodiak Corps, the Girl Scouts of Alaska, the Aleutic Museum, the Native Village of Afognak, Brother Francis Shelter in Kodiak, Kodiak Animal Shelter, Island Trails Network, the Kodiak Christian Retreat Center, Kodiak Kindness Project, Kodiak Maritime Museum, the Kodiak History Museum, Kodiak Middle School PTSA, the Kodiak Reentry, the Kodiak Wrestling Club, Senior Citizens of Kodiak, and the Kodiak YMCA. And as a disclaimer, KMXT Radio was also one of those beneficiaries of grant funds from KCF. Thank you to the Kodiak community for funding the future, and thank you to Kodiak Community Foundation for contributing to local nonprofits like us. If you want to learn more information about the Kodiak Community Foundation, how to donate, or how to apply for grant funds in the future, go online to kodiaccf.org or find their Facebook page at Kodiak Community Foundation. We now go back to our regularly scheduled programming right here on KMXT.